Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today is the last day of the 2012 regular legislative session up in Santa Fe. And today we're going to hear from several lawmakers from both sides of the aisle about the initiatives and measures that they supported and wanted to see passed during this session, and also whatever issues they are disappointed about the movement of during the session. And we'll hear from multiple people this hour. We'll hear from Republican Senator Mark Boitano. We'll also hear from Senator Sue Wilson-Befford, who is also a Republican. We'll be hearing from Senator Peter Wirth, a Democrat, later in the hour. But right now, first thing this morning, we're joined on the phone by Democrat Senator Dee Dee Feldman. Everyone that we're talking to this morning is up in Santa Fe, because that's where all the excitement is taking place. Good morning, Senator Feldman. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Elaine.
So I want to start off this morning. Can you kind of give me an overview of what the mood is up in Santa Fe right now from your perspective? How did things go this session, and are you pleased?
Well, it's, of course, frantic right now, and they're calling us to the floor. But up until now, it's been a pretty slow session. Some might even say kind of a boring session, with so much off the table. Health care, for example, was off the table, and the major focus was on the budget.
And so how do you, there was a budget that was passed, a $5.6 billion budget that was passed by both houses in the legislature. How do you feel about that budget? Were there things in there that you appreciated, or things that you didn't appreciate about that budget?
Well, you know, we went into the session this time for the first time in 4 years with a projected surplus of about $234 million, much of which the governor wanted to use for tax breaks. That made budget making a little bit easier this year. But basically, we came up with this $5.6 billion budget, most of which was used to fill the holes that we have dug in the past couple of years. So I was happy that Medicaid would not be reduced, but of course we're starting from a much lower level than we have had in the past couple of years, just as we're preparing for a big influx of folks into the Medicaid program as a result of the federal health care bill.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, perhaps you have thoughts about measures that moved or did not move through the legislature this year. The number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. What were the most important issues to you this year? You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. We'll be taking your calls this morning, and we're speaking with Senator Dee Dee Feldman. Dee Dee, I wanted to ask you also, did you want to see a greater increase in spending in the budget this year? Would you have liked to see more money allocated to government programs?
Well, I think one of the things that we talked about this year obliquely was reforming our tax code so that we don't have a permanent structural deficit. As you know, we're not allowed to have deficit spending here in New Mexico according to our Constitution. But we have given away so much of our tax revenue through loopholes and credits and deductions that basically we don't have as much of our revenue to spend as we used to on our basic safety net programs and, of course, on education. If you look at the budget, the amount of funding proportionally for education has gone down over the past 10 years. And this just is at a time when we really need to make those investments for our future.
The budget that was passed leaves, I think, over $35 million of the revenue projected for 2013 unspent so far and available for tax cut proposals. Are you interested in seeing that money put towards a tax cut? And if so, what kind of tax cut?
Well, we did pass last night off the Senate floor a measure that would address what they call tax pyramiding, which affects a lot of construction industries in terms of paying double gross receipts tax for the ingredients of their product or services as well as the final product. So that may fly, I'm not really sure. But our other problem this year has been the fact that the price of natural gas is declining. And so there are some here that feel that we need to put that extra money into reserves rather than into permanent tax cuts in case we have less money to work with than anticipated.
Mm-hmm. And this combined reporting bill made it through the House yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That's a great victory. I know that Senator Peter Wirth has been working on this for 8 years. It passed this year because it had the sort of tax policy component to it, so that it reduced the tax rate, the overall corporate tax rate, very slightly, and it was able to do that by closing the exemptions that big box stores like Walmart and Target were using to avoid what many feel was their fair share of taxes, or at least as much taxation as our homegrown small New Mexico businesses were paying.
In your mind, is that why this proposal made it through the House? Is that the first time something like a combined reporting measure has made it through?
Yes, this is the first time, and my view is that it's because it had that piece that showed that we really need to look at our overall tax policy, maybe broaden the base of taxes, as well as close these loopholes so that we have adequate revenue and so that our tax structure is fair to New Mexico businesses and individuals.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other kind of big issues that were highlighted by the governor this year, things like ending the state's provision of driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. This is a measure that her proposal did not make it through both houses. The Senate passed an alternative bill that is expected to not really move through the House. It's considered dead at this point. Are you at all surprised by this?
Well, I'm surprised. I'm always surprised at the inability for folks to compromise. And I think that if the governor really wanted to address the issue of fraud, which has been widely publicized, the Senate bill really did that, really required fingerprinting, required stiffer residency requirements, and addressed that problem. So I am sorry that there was not more movement on that, because we moved in her direction, but there was no corresponding give. So I'm sorry about that. I am also sorry about the fact that one thing that I was working with the governor on, which was a move to allow cities and counties to ban the sale and use of fireworks in time of extreme danger, went down in flames, so to speak, fairly early on in the session at the hands of a very robust and fiery fireworks industry.
And that's something that the governor had supported and that had bipartisan support, right?
Yes, it did. But not enough to pass the Senate Corporations Commission, which was influenced, I believe, by the fireworks industry.
Great. Just one quick question for you. I know you're being called to the floor.
Yes.
What are your feelings about the anti-corruption measure that was passed by both the House and the Senate and is going to the governor for approval?
I supported it, and I think it passed unanimously in the Senate. We need to do more with transparency. We need to do more with campaign finance reform. We need to modernize our process here with more webcasting, video conferencing. There are many things that still remain to do, but we do seem to be taking some steps.
Great. Senator Dee Dee Feldman, Democrat from Albuquerque, thanks so much for your time this morning and for joining us, and keep us posted.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
We're talking about the legislative session this year. I'd like to hear from listeners. What was your top issue in the legislature this year? What were you watching? What was most important to you out of the issues that lawmakers were dealing with, whether it's tax policy or driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, the education proposals that have been advocated by the governor? The number to call is 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call 877-899-5866. That is the toll-free number. And we're joined this morning on the phone by Senator Mark Boitano. Good morning, Senator Boitano. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know it's a busy day for you. Senator Boitano, are you there? Well, looks like we'll try to get Senator Boitano in just a moment. But we are taking your calls this morning on the legislature and the session in Santa Fe. Some of the things that are happening up there, as Senator Feldman just explained, the budget was passed and has gone to the governor. The governor, Governor Martinez, has said that she wants to see agreement on tax cut proposals before signing the budget that was sent to her. She's looking for tax cuts that she argues will spur job growth and the economy. Let's see if we've got Boitano on the line. Senator Boitano, good morning. Are you there? All right, I'll just keep going. I think let's take a break for a moment and we'll see if we can handle some of our technical difficulties here. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking about the legislative session, and we're working on lining up some lawmakers on the phone this morning for our conversation. But we're going to go to a caller first from Santa Fe, and let's hear from Jack in Santa Fe. Good morning. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My questions or my issues are the PRC. I just think the way it's been handled has been just amazing. Number one. Number two is the tax leveling for, I think that's definitely a move in the right direction. And last but not least, I'm just amazed that they couldn't pass the fireworks bill. Particularly, I think that we're going to go into another major drought. So,
hey, Jack.
Those are my issues. Thank you. I'll take my answers off.
Can you stay on the line with us for a second, Jack?
Sure.
I wanted to follow up on your. I'm interested in what you think was so interesting about the issues with the PRC. There were several different measures that were introduced that would do different things to the PRC. One of them has passed, I believe, which is to remove the registration of corporations out of the Public Regulation Commission, that duty, and to send it to the Secretary of State's office so that the PRC has kind of one less item on the plate to be dealing with and kind of condense those duties into the Secretary of State's office. Is that something that you thought was a good thing?
Hey, absolutely. I think that the PRC has way too much on its plate. The other thing that I've been reading about and watching is the insurance regulation from the public relation from the PRC. I think that generally speaking that's a complicated industry / set of issues, and I'm not clear that the PRC has the horsepower to deal with all of that. So
great.
Anyway, that's what I'm thinking about.
Thanks for your call this morning, Jack. We've got Senator Mark Boitano on the line now. Thanks, Senator Boitano, for your patience this morning. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Elaine. Greetings from the unmerry roundhouse. I think everybody up here is kind of tired and ready to go home.
is that kind of natural for the last day?
It really is. It really is. I mean, it's very intense and long days and long meetings and a lot of discussion and debate. And at some point, you just feel like you've had enough. And I think a lot of people are feeling that right now.
What is at the top of the list of the things that you've had enough of this session?
Well, frankly, for me, this session hasn't been as intense as previous sessions. So it's not uncommon for us during the last week to work till midnight, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and we haven't had those long days long nights. So it's a little bit less so than it has been in the past. But a lot of issues, a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, you know, some flared tempers. But that's all a part of life and culture in the Roundhouse.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. What are your thoughts on the budget that has been sent to the governor and her call for some tax cuts that she would like to see spur job growth in the economy in New Mexico?
Well, that's a million-dollar question right now. What's going to happen to the economy? Where are the jobs going to come from? And for someone like me, tax cuts are, one way to stimulate the economy. So as far as the budget goes, I think, you know, there was pretty broad-based agreement from both the House and the Senate, and, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, that the budget was a reasonably good budget. But I agree with the governor that we need tax cuts, and you know, hopefully we can do some here during the last day. We've had, 50 different proposals, and we're certainly not going to get all of them, but I hope we can agree on two or three of them.
And these are proposals, these are tax cut proposals?
Yeah, we had the pyramiding proposal that passed the Senate last night.
Mm-hmm. And Dede Feldman mentioned that earlier, too, yeah.
And then, you know, we had a small business tax cut that would benefit 56,000 small businesses with gross receipts less than $50,000 a year. And not only would this help plumbers and roofers and electricians and artists and digital animators throughout the state, but if people around the country are looking to come to New Mexico, the gross receipts tax on small business is a disincentive for them to move here. So it would help small businesses, and it would also help to create jobs.
And are you seeing bipartisan support for that type of a proposal at this point in the session as things are kind of drawing to a close and you're ramping up your work towards that endeavor?
Well, the pyramiding did have bipartisan proposal. We heard an amendment that I ran onto a bill last night for the small business tax credit, and that was defeated. So we're not seeing as much support for that as for some of the others. There's a veterans tax credit and tax preference that has had some interest in bipartisan support. And also we passed another credit for business that hired postgraduates. It's kind of the anti-brain drain tax credit in New Mexico. So we've seen some bipartisan support for that as well.
What are your thoughts on the combined reporting measure that made it squeak through the House yesterday?
Well, that's very controversial. And
can you explain the controversy about that for our listeners in case they're not familiar?
Well, the controversy is, A, how is that going to impact businesses looking to relocate to New Mexico? B, what actually is the fiscal impact report on that? Because we've seen all kinds of numbers. And when a multi-state company reports in a combined manner, right now they have the option to do it. About 50% do combined reporting. But if a company from out of state does combined reporting, they can report their losses as well. So that may result in a tax decrease to the state. So there's been a lot of controversy about that bill. It did pass the Senate. Whether or not it'll pass the House during these waning moments is another matter.
Well,
one of the things for me, too, I was hoping we could solve this session was the tax lightning problem. So,
yeah, talk to me about that. I know that's an issue that you've been very interested in. Explain what the tax lightning issue is.
Well, we have a law in the state of New Mexico that says that you're held to a 3% cap on your property taxes. However, when the property transfers ownership, that 3% cap is removed.
That's per year, right? 3% increase per year?
Yeah, 3% a year. But when a property transfers ownership, in other words, when somebody buys a new home or when they buy a resale home, that cap's removed and people are hit with tax lightning. I've talked to people that have experienced a two or three times more in property tax increase than their neighbor. That phenomenon is called tax lightning. So we've been trying to fix this for the last 4 or 5 years. We passed a bill out of the Senate this session, but it's been log jammed in the House Taxation Committee, and it doesn't look like it's going to get out. So that's one of my frustrations this session. I was hoping we could solve that problem.
Senator Boitano, what do you see as the resistance to that type of measure that would kind of equalize the way that, property taxes go up over time?
Well, frankly, the Speaker doesn't like this measure, and so he's been one of the major opponents. And, you know, this brings up an issue of whether or not one person should have that kind of influence in the House and in the Senate. The county assessors had some concerns, too, about how it will affect revenue. So, you know, if you talk to the assessors, they have some concerns. If you talk to hundreds of my constituents and literally 1,000 or more people from around the state that have contacted us about this issue, it's important to them. And, you know, tax fairness is something that people are crying out for.
Great. Well, Senator Boitano, is there one last thought that you have for us today, something that is perhaps a measure that is unresolved as of yet that you would like to see resolved today before the session adjourns?
I'd like to see, you know, one or more of the PRC proposals move forward. We passed one last night. I know Senator Feldman was speaking about that as well. I'd like to see that happen. But for the most part, I think we've done our job. And like I said before, we're ready to go home.
Thanks a lot for your time this morning, Senator Boitano.
Okay, Lee.
You have a good one. We're taking your calls this morning for your perspective on the legislative session in Santa Fe this year. And let's go to Clifton in Albuquerque. Good morning, Clifton. You're on the air.
Good morning, Elaine. Hey, that was a great conversation with the senator. I just wanted to comment that one of the particular things I've been following is there was a proposal to merge the tourism department with the cultural services department. Again, one of these efforts to save money. And fortunately, from my perspective, that did not pass. And you mentioned a 35 number, and I apologize. Once there's too many zeros, I can't remember whether it was billions or...
That was, I think that was the it's over $35 million that lawmakers have left kind of undecided as far as revenue that's expected for the 2013 fiscal year. It's revenue that's they're expecting in projections that they haven't budgeted yet, I think is the number
you.
I was talking about. You're welcome.
Well, that's exactly it. One of the things that has been going on in this state for years is that our tourism has been grossly underfunded relative to our neighbors. And we've got so many things to share with the world that I'd love to see 7 of that $35 million transferred to a real advertising budget for the tourism department, or I should say the beginning of a real advertising budget for the tourism department, which would generate revenues from the taxes that tourists would pay for services, lodgers taxes, things like that, without having a very significant environmental impact, for example. It would also help increase jobs around the state. So on the off chance that somebody up there is listening, I just wanted to put in my thanks that they did not fold that tourism department into something where its power would be further diluted, and suggest that we could generate some revenues by inviting some of our neighbors to come and learn more about us.
Great, Clifton. Thanks. You know, we do have Senator Sue Wilson-Befford on the line listening in and joining us right now this morning from the floor. Good morning, Senator Befford. Thanks for joining us this morning. Did you hear Clifton's question about the tourism industry in New Mexico?
Yes, and we are really concentrating on making sure that our economy is going to pick up in all types of areas, including tax relief to businesses and Main Street projects and that sort of thing. So I do hope that the tourism department can really do a great job at this late juncture. However, we do not have any effective bill that's going to, you know, really change the tourism department. Our budget, however, is about flat, so it doesn't mean that that any of these departments are going to take big decreases. So we all have to try and work with less and do more, but we've got a great secretary in there, so I'm very excited about her.
Well, so Senator Buffert, I wanted to ask you, what is your kind of take on how this session has gone? We heard from Senator Dede Feldman this morning, who said it was kind of almost kind of a boring session, and then Senator Mark Boitano said that there were some kind of standard things going on this session. And are there any surprises that our listeners would want to hear about from your perspective with respect to this session?
Great. And I first have to apologize if you hear static or microphone noise in the background. We are just now voting on bills every 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm just not able to leave my seat.
That's perfectly all right. We're hearing you just fine. We're hearing you just
okay.
fine.
Okay. And so, of course, I'm talking from the perspective of the budget because I am on the Senate Finance Committee, and that we've had some extremely controversial issues that we have had to deal with this session that, we're probably going to have to deal with them again next session, such as the insolvency of the pension funds. And it does not appear that the solvency bills are going to pass. These pension funds are insolvent, and yet we've been, heavily approached by the various unions about not doing anything on them right now. So, that's going to be a problem. And what we're hoping is to make a minor change. In fact, ERA, the Education Retirement Fund, did come up with a minor bill. And
That's the one that limits, is it the one that increases contributions?
Yes.
Over time? Mm-hmm.
Only in a minor way, but mm-hmm. that one is apparently stuck in committee. The unemployment bill, which may have gotten some notoriety because of the Supreme Court ruling against the governor on her partial veto, and so that was a very serious bill. And as of last night, we think we have a compromise between two different bills whereby the employer will not have to face a major increase in unemployment revenue. People don't like to call it a tax, but the unemployment piece of that bill. And so we may be able to keep it at level one this year, but then seeing how we're going to be able to make sure that fund is not insolvent.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of good news is that just as we were speaking just this very couple minutes ago, we did pass a wonderful tax credit for veterans that are coming into the state from, just having fought the war and being unemployed, a tax credit for employers that hire veterans. So it will give them a nice preference in terms of them being hired first, we hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, these are wonderful things. But I also want to say that the legislature passed a bill to increase our retirement contributions. And so, I just got a note in front of me that the ERB that I was just talking about passed out of the committee in the House, so maybe I'm wrong, and maybe we will get some correction in the education retirement mm-hmm. solvency.
Let me ask you this, Senator Wilson Buffert. There's in the budget that was sent to the governor, there's a chunk of money that has not been allocated yet based on the
yes.
revenue projections, right? What would you like to see that money go towards? The governor has said she wants to see tax cuts that will benefit businesses. Is there a specific tax proposal that you would like to see that money go towards supporting?
Well, I'm very much in favor of the one bill that she highlighted, which was to try and erode the pyramiding problem with gross receipts on construction manufacturing. So that bill looks very good, and we're very hopeful about that one. And then we've had a couple others that really are going to have a good impact. So what we did was we left $37 million on the table in our budget to be able to let the legislature pick and choose and vote up or down on the various measures.
I
have a nice little bill over there.
I think we may have just lost Senator Sue Wilson-Beffert. We'll see if we can get her back on. Let's take a few calls from listeners. Sherry from Albuquerque, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi, Elaine. I'm calling because I wanted to say how much I appreciate Mimi Stewart's leadership in spearheading the memorial effort to get Citizens United overturned. And we worked on it last year, and she introduced it. And this year it passed both houses.
And so can you explain for listeners who may not be familiar your perspective on what Citizens United is and what it means?
Yes. The Supreme Court, by a 4-5 decision on January 21st of 2010, ruled that in the Citizens United versus FEC case that essentially corporations have the same powers under the First Amendment as citizens.
When it comes to helping support political candidates.
That's correct.
Right.
Under the First Amendment, they can not be restricted in funding.
So this was it a memorial measure?
It was a memorial that was introduced by Mimi Stewart, and unfortunately wasn't covered very much by the press, and yet I think it was really important because so many people in the state feel so strongly about it. It was introduced in the Senate by Senator Fishman from Las Cruces,
mm-hmm.
and it passed, not without some skirmishes, but there were lots of people joined together in this state, Common Cause, several nonprofits in Albuquerque, La Familia, Free Speech for People, lots of League of Women Voters, lots of people came together for this, and I want to applaud Mimi Stewart for her courage in getting it through.
Great. Thanks, Sherry, for your call. We have Senator Sue Wilson-Beffert back on the line. Sorry about that, Senator. I'm sorry we lost you there for a moment.
but this is talking in real time. So.
Yes, ma'am. It's just we're really thrilled to have you on this morning. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to finish your thought quickly. You were speaking about some of the measures that you were supporting in this last day
of
the session.
Yes, and there's a very exciting bill for the rural areas that have to do with railroad fuel. And not to complicate the conversation too much, but it has to do with the rural communities that we will be constructing new lines so that business, manufacturing, and other types of distribution businesses can locate right on the railroad lines so that they don't have to pay for transportation costs to get over to the trains. And so that one, you know, I think is going to be accepted, and that one I think will be great for rural communities.
Is that a bill that includes funding for certain type of initiatives, or what is it that bill does that,
well,
that changes?
It allows a tax credit for fuels in New Mexico, which will allow them to reinvest that on new lines. And so... it's a little bit of a complicated subject. We did that for one railway line last year, and this would expand it to, you know, another line. So, you know, it's complicated how you weave this web and how we get jobs out in the community. But like I said earlier, we have this $37 million in capacity, and so we are behind the scenes trying to figure out what is the best investment with this limited amount of money.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Sue Wilson-Beffert, for your time this morning, Republican from Albuquerque in the East Mountains. I'll let you get back to your work on the floor, and I'm going to take a few calls from listeners right now. Jan from Mountain Air. Good morning, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi, Elaine. How are you? One of the things I would really love to see our legislature do is maybe create some tax incentive to lure recycling businesses to this state. We have plenty of land mass to handle those kind of operations. It would create incredible amount of jobs, I would imagine, for non-skilled labor. And it seems to me that between all of the labs that we have in this state, not that we could get them to do anything about it, but that there's a lot to be done in research and development of new products by recycling materials. And as I drive the roadways in New Mexico, I see more and more glass bottles, more and more plastic bottles, more and more beer cans and pop cans. And, you know, we're drowning in waste in this country, and I would really love to see the state of New Mexico put forth some effort in this regard and maybe lead the country in this regard. I can't imagine that it wouldn't create jobs. So that's all.
All right, Jan. Jan in Mountain Air. Let's go now to Javier in Albuquerque. Good morning, Javier. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Elaine?
Just fine, thank you.
My name is Javier. Instead, I work with the Partnership for Community Action. I'm the associate director, and we were very active this session. Particularly on one issue that I'm very disappointed about, this would have reformed education throughout the state of New Mexico, and it would have been the biggest reform effort in generations, and this is the Invest in Kids Now constitutional amendment.
Is that using the rainy day fund?
That is tapping into the permanent fund to not only keep the percentage of money going to the permanent fund for kids through 12, but most importantly, from my perspective, it would invest roughly 1.5% of that permanent fund tap for early learning services. Research shows that if we intervene early in a child's life, the potential for them to succeed academically is huge. We have two versions of this proposal, one going through the House, one going through the Senate, and unfortunately it came down really to one vote. That of Senator John Arthur Smith from Deming. We were very disappointed, but, you know, as they say, the legislative process is sort of making sausage. And it's really dirty. It's really not fun to be around, but we'll be back probably next year to try and do this again.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning, Javier. I'd like to go now back up to the Roundhouse in Santa Fe. We have Senator Peter Wirth, Democrat from Santa Fe, on the line. Thanks for joining us this morning, Senator Wirth, and good morning.
Good morning to you and all the listeners.
Thanks. So we've been going back and forth a little bit about some of the aspects of the budget, and I wanted to follow up with you. You know, the budget was sent to the governor. She has said that she wants to see agreement on some tax cut proposals. Can you update us about what you think is going to happen today with respect to that $35 million that has been unallocated for the 2013 fiscal year?
Well, I think we'll just have to wait and see what comes through.
What do you want to see happen, shall I say?
Well, I think the challenge is, I will tell you, I personally am very concerned about passing a whole bunch of additional tax cuts that eat away at our base and kind of continue this cycle of just, instead of kind of looking at tax reform, we just pass more and more tax cuts, which makes the tax base narrower and narrower, and of course makes it more regressive. So, again, personally, I think it's fiscally responsible to kind of hold that money with the price of natural gas being down where it is. You know, budget estimates are just estimates. And the worry is that, you know, if that gas is down below the estimates, you know, these numbers may not be realistic at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's a discussion that we've been having here, and I tend to favor being fiscally responsible and also making sure that, you know, we don't just continue to carve away at that tax base.
So what are you, what is your response to the fact that the combined reporting measure passed the House yesterday and is headed to the governor and maybe she'll veto it?
Well, first let me say, again, as a sponsor of that bill for 8 years, I am thrilled that we were able to come up with a minor step. It's not combined reporting for all out-of-state businesses, but for out-of-state big-box retail, we've put them now on a level playing field with New Mexico businesses, and this bill gives all New Mexico businesses that pay corporate tax a tax reduction. So it's a huge step, and again, I think the governor, it's certainly her prerogative, kind of the direction to go, but it just seems to me that this is a pretty clear choice. You know, are we here to favor tax breaks for out-of-state corporations or to really protect our New Mexico businesses? And again, I think it's the first step in a huge and very important tax policy discussion that we need to start over here you know, we continue to give away more and more incentives. And again, it just carves away at that tax base. And winners and losers, I'm tired of our New Mexico businesses being the losers. So I just think that I'm hopeful the governor will take a hard look at this and, you know, sign it into law.
I want to shift to another topic that we haven't touched on as much this morning. Can you give us an update of where the governor's education proposals are, social promotion of third graders who don't have proficient reading levels, and also the teacher evaluation proposal?
Sure. Well, there are, and what's interesting is we've got kind of bills that are coming out of the Democratic caucus, and then, of course, the bills that are being pushed by the governor on both these issues. And we came really close to coming up with a consensus. I just think, though, there are fundamental differences of opinion, really, with respect to whether the government should be involved in the education of our kids and stepping in to basically hold those kids back, or whether that's a parental choice. And, again, there are bills that are flying back and forth between both chambers. And so I think we'll see what happens here this morning, whether, you know, one of the four bills, and let me just say there's four bills, two Democratic bills and two bills pushed by the governor on each of these issues. And, again, we'll just see which of those make it through. I want to be clear. I think that, you know, the Democratic caucus certainly is interested in and totally focused on education and getting dollars into the classroom and early childhood and those kinds of things. Again, it's just a question of whether we have standardized tests and standardization that cuts across the board at all levels, or we really get, you know, parental involvement and realize the fact that we have a wide range of differences when it comes to parental involvement and socioeconomic backgrounds with our children.
You know, I just had this image when you said bills flying back and forth. I had this image of the New Mexico legislature kind of like the Seattle fish market. With but just
well, that is a great analogy, because it feels like the fish market with those fish flying at this point. Things can move very fast. You know, this is a deliberative process, but we're literally rolling through lots of bills this morning.
Can you talk to us about the measure that was approved in the House to remove income tax from military retirement payments?
Well, and again, and it just went through the Senate this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is a, I don't think it's removed the tax, it was a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
For veterans. And again, I think that is something that's got bipartisan support. And so that's an example of how, you know, how things can work over here when we work together. And Democrats and Republicans certainly want to help our veterans.
Great. This is the measure that it, I've got an AP report here that talks about this as an exemption from taxes on military retirement benefits that phases in over 4 years between 2013 and 2016.
Well, the one that I was referring was a tax credit.
Okay, we're talking
through
two
this morning, and then there was another bill that we've been discussing too that's a veteran's preference
For hiring,
bidding, and that went through. So I may not be focused on that exact one. I don't think we've seen that one here yet this morning. So.
And what about the anti-corruption measure that's been sent to the governor? Can you give us a little bit of information about that? Was that something that just sailed through?
It was. I think, again, we had two different versions. Representative Gentry had a version that was pretty broad and raised some real concerns amongst members of our Democratic caucus in the House, and then Senator Payne had a version that he's been working on for a number of years, which, as you say, did pass through the Senate unanimously, and the majority floor leader of the House, Kenny Martinez, carried that bill on the floor of the House, and that's now up to the governor. I think that'll go into law.
Great. Are there any issues that we haven't talked about so far this morning that you're paying particular attention to this morning that you'd like to see resolved before the session ends?
Well, the big one that I have is Senate Bill 11, which involves disclosure of the super PAC money, independent expenditure disclosure, and that is on the floor of the House waiting to be heard. Basically, there are limited windows when we can make these unlimited contributions, kind of shine some light on where the money's coming from. And Citizens United, of course, allowed for unlimited contributions to these super PACs. This bill pushes right to the edge as far as we can go under the Constitution of saying that when they engage in express advocacy for or against a candidate, they've got to disclose, or within a certain window before a primary or general election, they need to disclose the donors so at least the voters know where the money's coming from when they're in the voting booth.
Great. Senator Peter Wirth from Santa Fe speaking to us from the Roundhouse in Santa Fe. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a few more calls from listeners. Let's hear from Kim Shanahan in Santa Fe. Good morning, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, Elaine. Thanks so much for squeezing me in. Great show. Elaine, as you know, I'm the executive officer of the Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association, and we really have been plumping for a bill that I think even Senator Wirth would agree would be a good tax credit, and that was one introduced by Brian Egolf about 10 days into the session. It was the brainchild of Santa Fe architect and founder of 2030 Challenge, Ed Mazzaria, and it's pretty simple. It would be a tax credit for new home buyers who can convince a builder to build them a home that is very energy efficient, would have a HERS rating of 60 down to zero. It sailed through the House, two committees in the House, bipartisan support on both committees, by unanimous, got to the Senate, and then got stalled in finance, as many things do. And interestingly, in the last 24 hours, we've sort of changed our strategy. And I will say that this bill is supported by the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, Albuquerque and Santa Fe Home Builders Association, the State Association, the Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce, Association of Counties. So it's getting great bipartisan support, but it just sort of ran into the roadblock of the Senate. So yesterday we decided that we would take it to the governor and ask her to actually take this progressive Egolf-introduced bill and run with it and perhaps even squeeze it into that $30-some million that you were referring to. It would only go for 2 years. The amounts aren't big money. It's $4,000 for a HERS 60 or better, $6,000 for a HERS 25, and $8,000 for a HERS 0. But the idea is to jumpstart the home building industry and at the same time really create some energy efficient homes. So if anybody knows the governor, and we got 3 hours left, but we would love to see this get onto the Senate floor and actually get an up and down vote because we think we'd prevail.
Great, great. Thanks for your call this morning, Kim. We're going to hear now from Gwyneth Doland. She is reporting for the online news source nmpolitics.net. She has also done reporting for us here at KUNM and also did some reporting for KNME on that channel's Public Square program. Good morning, Gwyneth. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes this morning.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
Is it just a zoo up there?
It's actually not that bad. You know, often at this stage in the session, people have been up all night and there's a frantic race to get really important stuff done. This year, you know, the budget and capital outlay are kind of taken care of. Most of the big stuff is done, and now it's down to people's pet projects and little things and individual legislators' priorities.
So tell me, Gwyneth, what are some of the biggest issues that we're looking at right now that lawmakers are looking to resolve before the end of the session? Are we going to see some last-minute decisions on various issues?
There may be a few things that are still out there that are hot, but not that many. Honestly, the focus is now going to be on the governor and what she is going to decide on things like a combined reporting bill that folks have been calling the big box bill that would ask companies like Walmart to pay taxes in state. Will she sign it? She said she wouldn't. You know, she had some tax priorities, and she's going to have to make some decisions on bills like that. There's also still disagreement over third-grade reading and retention right now.
Gwyneth, tell me what that disagreement is about over this one of the education proposals. This is known as a social promotion bill. What is the disagreement about specifically?
Honestly, the big picture is, you know, we know that we have a problem with kids kids not graduating from high school, and they trace this problem back to third grade. And if they're not reading at grade level by third grade, then they just fall farther and farther behind. So I think everybody kind of agrees that this is a crisis point at that age, but they disagree on what we should do about it. Governor Martinez says we should hold those kids back, get them reading up to grade level, and then move them on so they don't fall farther behind. Other folks say we can't just hold them all back. You know, we have to fix this problem as they move along and catch them up to speed. Then there are other groups who say we should put all our money toward early childhood so that we're really nipping the problem in the bud. Honestly, there's a lot of great solutions, and there's just disagreement out over how to best get at it.
Right, right. On another issue that the governor, Susana Martinez really pushed for as we headed into this session, ending the state's practice of providing driver's licenses for foreign nationals without requiring proof of legal status in the U.S. How was this a surprise that this driver's license resolution didn't go very far, or?
No, honestly, it wasn't really a surprise at all. The Democrats had another compromise proposal that they liked better that would still allow illegal immigrants to get a driver's license, but would add a whole bunch of penalties and make it more difficult and revoke things. I mean, they threw a kitchen sink of other provisions into the bill, but the linchpin was still allowing illegal immigrants to get a driver's license, and Martinez just wouldn't have it. So there was just not going to be a compromise on that issue, and I don't think anyone was that surprised it didn't happen. The Democrats have the numbers.
I wanted to follow up on another issue that we haven't talked about this morning. A Defense of Marriage Act was introduced once and I think maybe even twice during this session. Can you give us an update on that issue?
Well, you know, I think it's an issue that a certain portion of the conservative electorate is really interested in. But the way things work here is that committee chairs are chosen by the leadership in the legislature, and the leadership is Democratic. And so when bills like this come up, they kill them in committee. something like that will never make it to the floor for a major debate or a vote, as long as Democrats who oppose things like that control the committees.
Got it. That makes sense. Your last thoughts on the budget and what we might see being the way that this like extra money may be used as lawmakers consider tax cut proposals on this last day of the session?
You know, I don't have a prediction on that yet.
Oh, come on, Gwyneth. Tell us what's going to happen. Just kidding.
The budget, you know, the budget was one of the few places in this session where we saw people come together for a compromise. They did a lot of work before bringing out the proposal in getting a compromise, and then it was there was really no major debate on the budget as a whole. There is a lot of debate on the individual tax cut part of it, but we're still waiting to see exactly how all those fall into place. And I think in the next few hours, we'll figure out what exactly has passed here. And then our eyes will turn to the governor and what she will accept.
Super. Gwyneth Doland, thanks so much for your time this morning. Truly appreciate it. I know you're busy covering the session up in Santa Fe today. It is the last day of the state legislative session, the regular session here in 2012. Gwyneth Doland reports for nmpolitics.net, and she's also done reporting for us here at KUNM and for KNME Channel 5 TV. Thanks so much this morning, Gwyneth.
Elaine, I just want to say, before I go, I'll be live blogging the last few hours here on nmpolitics.net, and your listeners are welcome to join us.
Great, great. Your live blogging is definitely informative and entertaining altogether, if you can imagine that. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show. Thanks so much for joining us for this conversation about the legislative session this year. If you have comments or suggestions for show topics or tips, please email us at callinshow@kunm.org. Roman Garcia was engineering today, and Andy Lyman was our news intern. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is KUNM.